Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing the reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text 41. Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. This is a continuation of the reading of how Vamandev, Lord Vishnu, but he came as a dwarf. Vama means dwarf, you know, midget. So he came as a midget, beautiful, but midget Brahmana. Normally Brahmanas, they go and beg charity. So he had gone to the palace of Bali Maharaj to beg charity. And of course, as we have read, that the demigods, they have, you know, they lost their kingdom. So the demigods lost their kingdom, so Bali Maharaj occupied the throne of Indra and effectively became the ruler of the entire universe. So demigods, they have no place to, you know, to stay. And they have no power to go and fight Bali Maharaj and the demons because they've lost their strength. This is due to the offense which they have committed to their guru, Brihaspati. So demigods, they have no power. So they lost everything, they lost their kingdom. So, of course, they pray to, they ask Lord Brahma, and then by the advice, so the demigod pray to Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu say, okay, I will find a way to help you out. So now, Lord Vishnu had come in the form of Brahman, and as a Brahmana, he had come to the palace of to Bali Maharaj to beg charity. So the of course there was a conversation which took place between Bali Maharaj and Vamandev, because yes, Bali Maharaj was very, very attracted to Vaman, was very, very attracted to him, that such a simple, beautiful brahmachari. So he was so happy that Vamandev has come to his palace. And then of course when he saw Vamandev, he said, "Oh, my dear brahmachari, I can see, you know, that you are very, very devoted to your culture of Vedic study. So therefore, tell me anything you want. I'm ready to give you. You're a brahmachari. Do you want to get married? I can give you a whole village of girls. I have so many, many maidens I can give you to get married to. You want wealth? I'm ready to give you anything that you want. I can give you village, I can give you cities, everything. Just ask me anything that you want." And then Bali Maharaj, and then Vamandev, he replied, he said, "I just want 3 steps of land, that's all. I only want 3 steps of land, that's all I want." Bali Maharaj was very surprised. This is considered an insult. How can you come to me and ask only for 3 steps of land? I'm the king, the ruler of the whole universe. 3 steps of land is an insult to me. Just ask for, you know, ask me something much bigger than that. Vamandev said, "Look, someone who cannot be satisfied with 3 steps of land, how can he be satisfied even if you give him the whole universe? So therefore, 3 steps of land, I'm very happy that that's all I need." So when Bali Maharaj, when he was about to tell, he actually said, "Okay, if you want 3 steps of land, okay, so be it." Immediately, Bali's guru came, Sukracharya. He was so surprised. that, my dear disciple, how can you be so unintelligent? This Brahmana is not an ordinary Brahmana. He's actually Vishnu himself. He has come to trick you for your kingdom so that he can give it to the demigods. He has come to trick you. Now, because Sukracharya is very, very intelligent person, and Sukracharya, of course, was not an ordinary person. He was, in fact, a portion of Lord Shiva. Actually, Lord Shiva has so many, many, many expansions. He has lot of plenary portions. Divine money is one of them. Sometimes divine money is also. Sometimes he can create havoc if you get him angry. At the same time, he can give you great benediction if you make him happy. And so Sukracharya also, is an expansion of Lord Shiva. So he's a very powerful person. He's able to give life to a person, because during the fight between the demigods and the demons, when they were fighting, after many, many demons, they lost their life. They were killed by the demigods. But Sukracharya will come and just revive them. By sprinkling the nectar, Sanjivani, he will revive the demons. In this way, during the fight, the demons, they continuously regaining their life. So Sukracharya is now instructing Bali Maharaj that, look, do not give this charity. This is very, very bad for you. So we're going to read text 41 today, and then the discussion will continue. Pararitam apunam va aksharam yatad omiti yakinchidamiti bruyat tena richeta vipuman dikshabe sabam kuvan Nalankamina Chatmane Parak, that which separates Riktan, that which makes one free from attachment, Apunam, that which is insufficient, Va, either Aksharam, this syllable, yat, that, tat, which, om, omkara, iti, thus stated, yat, which, kinchit, whatever, om, this word om, iti, thus, bruyat, if you say tena, by such an utterance, richeta, one becomes free, vai, indeed, puman, a person, bhikshave, unto a beggar, sarvam, everything, omkuban, giving charity by uttering the word om. Not alone sufficiently kamena for sense gratification, cha also atmane for self realization. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering the word, one becomes free from attachment to money because his money is taken away from him. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position, one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, By using the word home, one becomes poverty stricken, especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar. One remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. Purport. Maharaj Bali wanted to give everything to Vamandev, who had appeared as a beggar. But Sukracharya, being Maharaj Bali's familiar spiritual master in the line of seminal succession, could not appreciate Maharaj Bali's promise. Sukracharya gave Vedic evidence that one should not give everything to a poor man. Rather, when a poor man comes for charity, one should untruthfully say, "Whatever I have given you, I have no more." It is not that one should give everything to him. Actually, the word Om is meant for Om Tat Sat, the absolute truth. Omkara is meant for freedom from all attachment to money, because money should be spent for the purpose of the Supreme. The tendency of modern civilization is to give money in charity to the poor. Such charity has no spiritual value, because we actually see that although there are so many hospitals and other foundations and institutions for the poor, according to the three modes of material nature, a class of poor men is always destined to continue. Even though there are so many charitable institutions, poverty has not been driven from human society. Therefore, it is recommended here, Bhikshave Saman Omkoban Nalan Kamena Chatmane, one should not give everything to the beggars among the poor. The best solution is that of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. This movement is always kind to the poor, not only because it feeds them, but also because it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. We are therefore opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character by teaching them how to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, which are the most sinful activities and which cause people to suffer life after life. The best way to use money is to open such a center where all may come live and reform their character. They may live very comfortably without denial of any of the body's necessities, but they live under spiritual control, and thus they live happily and save time for advancement in Krishna consciousness. If one has money, it should not be squandered away on nothing. It should be used to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement so that all of human society will become happy, prosperous, and hopeful of being promoted back home, back to Godhead. The Vedic mantra in this regard read as follows: Paratva etariktam aksharan yati daomiti tat yakinchi daomiti ahatrasvashmaita richite sa yasavan om kuya richyatmanam sa kamebyo nalam siyat. There's no translation for this text. Gurave Gurachandraya, Radhikaya Tadalaya, Krishna Krishna Bhaktaya, Tabataya Nama Nama, Vamagyana Trimindasya, Ganangana Chalakaya, Chakshimta Yenatasma Shri Gurave Nama, Vanchaka Betrubhischa, Kripa Sivyacha, Patita Nam Pavana Bhivu, Vaishnava Bhivu Nama Nama. Parari Tan Apu Namba, Aksharan Yatad Omiti, Yakinchi Omiti Bruyat, Tena, Richita, Vaipuman, Bhikshave, Sam Om Koban, Nalam, Kamena, Chatmani. Hare Krishna. The utterance of the word on signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money, because his money is taken away from him. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position, one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word own, one becomes poverty-stricken, especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. So Srila Prabhupada, he had referred here Sukracharya as being familiar guru, or in one sense, Kula Guru. So the Kula Guru, this is the household spiritual masters that basically give you instruction on how to live your materialistic life. It's a Kula Guru. So here in India, of course, practically every household have their particular guru. It's just like, you know, one time I was talking to one lady to do a translation for me. And she said, well, let me first ask my guru to find out how much I should charge. I said, okay, you can ask your guru. So the next day she came back, she said, well, my guru said I should ask for this big money. You say, well, that's very interesting. A very big amount of money. So this is how the Kula Gurus, this is how they work. So they make sure that your material life is successful. You know. So they give you nice instruction, you know, which is good, of course, if you want to be in the material world. Whereas the Sadguru, the real spiritual master, they want you to be detached from this material world. They are teaching you the process of detachment. That this material world is not meant for you. No matter how much you try, you cannot be happy in this material world. So therefore, the best course of action for you is to pursue the life of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, they teach you the path of detachment, not the path of attachment. The Kula Guru teach you the path of attachment, whereas the Sadguru teach you the path of detachment from the material world, but attachment to Krishna. So attachment to Krishna means, you know, giving everything to Krishna. That's what it is. So Maharaj Bali, so he's getting this instruction from his, let's say, his crazy guru, Sukracharya. You know, because the guru became angry that why you make this promise to Vishnu, to Vama. This Vama, he just came to teach, he just come here to cheat you, to trick you. He has come in the form of a Brahmana, but it's Vishnu himself. Because he wants to take whatever you have, he wants to take it away and give it to the demigods. So therefore, you should not give this charity to him. And especially, even though, yes, you are given a promise that you will give whatever he asks you. But in giving this promise, you have not chanted Om. You haven't chanted the word Om, because the Om, which signifies the absolute truth, you know, Om Tat Sat. Normally, if any Vedic endeavor that is preceded with Om, so the Om, that signifies the detachment from this material world. By which the one become detached, and one actually apply everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So Sukracharya, he knows this very well. After all, as I said earlier, Sukracharya is in full knowledge. He has full knowledge of the scriptures. He is an expansion of Lord Shiva. He is actually a plenary portion of Lord Shiva. But he's there in this material world for the purpose of the demons, that the demons live a very nice life. That's just his mission. That's the mission of Sukracharya. That to make sure that the demons, they have a nice life, that they are not disturbed by the demigods. So, and he's always coming to their defense. Of course, we have the stories of Maharaj Jayati, who whose daughter, you know, Marajayati, who antagonized Sukracharya. Because Marajayati, he has a daughter, is it Damayanti? I think his name is Damayanti. And Sukracharya's daughter was named Samista. So one time, they are both friends. They were friends together, both Samista and Damayanti. They were both friends. But one time they were both playing. They were playing. So Samista was a Brahmani because she's a daughter of is it Damista Damayanti? One of them anyway. Because she was a daughter of Sukracharya, so she's she's a Brahmani. And the same time. So one time they were playing, and then Damayanti did something to Samista, by which Samista became angry, and then Samista used a very cutting word, saying that because Damayanti is been a Kshatriya, so she said that you Kshatriya, you are just like a dog because you are meant to. You know, you are meant to be servant of the Brahmanas, basically. She used such a strong word. And then Damayanti also became very angry. Said that, how can you say such a thing? You are a beggar, because Brahmana means they beg. And then, because being a Kshatriya, she pushed Damayanti into the... she pushed Samista into the well. She pushed her away into the well. So this enraged Sukracharya. And then he went to Yayati, telling him, that he's ready to cost him for him to lose his entire kingdom. So in order to pacify, Marajayati has to do something to pacify Sukracharya. So anyway, this is very, very long. It's a long story. This story you find in the Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto. But here, Bali Maharaj was, because he had given this instruction to, this promise to Vamandev, Sukracharya said, no, you do not have to agree to this instruction. You can actually say no. Because first of all, you have not chanted the word Om before you give the promise. So which means this promise you are giving is not binding. This is what you are giving. It's not a binding instruction. You can actually, you can back out of it. And by backing out of it, essentially, you are not committing any sin. Because when you give a promise, you are supposed to, follow it. And it's considered, according to the Vedic culture, it's considered to be something that is actually sinful. By which, if you give a promise and you don't follow through, whereas we've had many personalities in the past who have even given up their life for the purpose of fulfilling their promise. Many personalities they have to take so many sacrifices just for the purpose of fulfilling a promise. We have a situation of Marasibi. Marasibi was a great king, and he was such a very honest king. So in order to test this king, both Agni and Indra, they decided to test him. So Agni became a pigeon, and Indra became a hawk, and a falcon. So they wanted to test how honest this king is. So the pigeon... So he ran to the, because he was being chased by the falcon, and he ran to the palace of Marasibi and landed on his thigh. In the meanwhile, the falcon came, enter. So when the falcon came enter, he demanded that this pigeon is my food. I must eat this food. In the meanwhile, the pigeon, he had prayed to Marasibi that you have to give me protection because this falcon is coming to eat me. So Marasibi said, okay, I will protect you. But the falcon came, he said that, no, this pigeon is my food. It's my food. So this Marasibi said, no, okay, I'm ready to give you any other meat that you want. Any other meat that you want, I'm ready to give you. But this pigeon, this is in my protection, so don't eat him. But the falcon said, no, this is the only food I want. I don't want any other food. This is the only food I want. So in order to fulfill his promise, so the king said, okay, I'm ready to give my own flesh, you know, as your own food. You know, whatever the weight of this pigeon is, I'm ready to give it to you. You know, you can eat it. So the pigeon agreed. So they put the pigeon on one scale, and then Marasibi started cutting his own flesh, you know, from his thigh and putting it on the other scale. But the more he put, even though the pigeon was actually very small, but the more he put, the more heavier this pigeon becomes. To the extent that Marasibi continued, you know, cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting his own, you know, his own flesh. So when these two demigods, Indra and Agni, in the form of the pigeon and the falcon, when they saw that the extent of the sacrifice of this king, so they revealed themselves. You know, they revealed themselves to him. And also, we also have the case of Harishchandra. He was a very great king, Harishchandra. Great king. You must have read the story of King Harishchandra, because he had promised Vishwamitra that he will give him wealth that he wants. So Vishwamitra, he became like a greedy brahmana, by which King Harishchandra, he basically lost everything. He completely lost everything. He lost his kingdom. He lost everything. That even he came to the point of having to sell his wife and children even as slave to Chandalas. So we have many, many stories like this in the scriptures. So the Vedic personalities, when they give a promise, they have to fulfill it. But here, Sukracharya is telling Bali that no, you do not have to do this. You don't have to fulfill your promise, especially you have not chanted the word Om. And then another philosophy, which was being described here, is that in order to maintain this material body, is maintained with the combination of truth and untruth. That some element of life has to be there. That if you want to maintain your material body, somehow you don't have to always be truthful. You may sometimes have to lie, you know. Because if you just try to maintain your material body, be just being truthful alone, you know, this may not be possible. You may actually lose your life that way. So some lie has to always be there. And that's why we see in the material world that, yes, people lie all the time. People lie all the time because why? This is the way by which they want to preserve the material body. This element of lies always have to be there. So in this way, Sukracharya is saying that you can just say, no, I don't, you know, I didn't, I forgot the promise I gave you. I forgot the promise. So this various rationality, this is what Sukracharya is giving to Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, of course, because Sukracharya, you know, he wants to maintain his own dakshin, because as a guru, he has to constantly be receiving the dakshin from the disciples. And he knows that if Bali gave the kingdom, Bali is going to lose everything. So he will be deprived of his own, you know, of his own benefit. So therefore, self preservation is always a matter of necessity. You know, the self preservation. So Anyway, another point here is that, so we are talking of beggar because there's a mention of the begging profession is always something that is always there in the material world, the begging profession. Even though there's always so much talk of poverty alleviation, eradication of poverty, in many, many, all over the world, everyone keep talking about it. But right from the beginning of creation, the poor are always there, the people are always there begging. So the begging element is always there. You know, the richest country in the world, you know, there's always a class of beggars. I remember when I first came here 24 years ago, in 1995, you know, I know that some beggars are out there who I saw when I first came here, and today the same beggar are still there. Same beggar are still there. So the begging class is always there. Now, it's not that they don't have the necessity to maintain themselves. They just say that this is the way by which they always, you know, have to live. You know, playing the victim of being poor. On the other hand, if you look at it in material world, everyone is poor. There's a poverty stricken for everyone. So therefore, what is the? Because I have to try to go a little bit faster here, because I'm going to talk a little bit about Abraham Tako. You know, so in the material world, basically everyone is poor, basically, because, you know, when we come to the material world, we don't have anything, and when we leave the material world, we will not have nothing. So therefore, everyone is poor, but we can be rich, we can be wealthy. How can we be rich? How can we be wealthy? Only by becoming Christian conscious. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, when he asked Ramananda Roy that who's a capitalist, who's a wealthy person, Ramananda Roy replied that a person who has developed love of Krishna, who has developed Krishna Prem, he's the one who is actually a rich person. Not someone who has got, you know, a bunch of materialistic necessities. And the gopis, when they were praying to Krishna, because Krishna was in the forest, he had disappeared from the gopis. So the gopis, they say that Krishna, your name is the nectar that gives life to everyone, that give life to everyone in this material world. Tavakata mitatapta jivana. But those who are actually propagating your name, those personalities, they are the real charitable workers. So which means only the devotees of Krishna who are engaging in propagating Krishna consciousness, they are the real charitable worker. So which means if you want to be a philanthropist, if you want to be a charitable worker, then just become Krishna conscious and give it out to other persons also. This is what Srila Prabhupada was mentioning here in the Bhagavatam. So today is the disappearance of Srila Abhiram Thakur. Srila Abhiram Thakur, he was one of the associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, today we have to remember the appearance and disappearance of great Vaishnavas. And remembering the appearance and disappearance of great Vaishnavas is actually a necessity for all the devotees. It's considered to be a limb of bhakti, to remember their appearance and disappearance, and also remembering their various activities, because by doing that, it enables us to grow in Krishna consciousness by doing that. So Abhiram Thakur, he was Sridham in his previous life, Sridham, and he was one of the cowherd boys of Krishna's. And there's one time when Krishna, all the Balaram, all the cowherd boyfriends, one time they were all in the forest near Govardhan. They were all playing. They were playing hide and seek. You know, they were playing hide and seek, so which means various of them, they were hiding in the caves and all that. And as they were playing hide and seek, so Krishna suddenly said that, let us all go to Nadia and play some pastimes there. Let us all go to Nadia. So all the cowherd boys, including Balaram, they said, okay, yes, that's a good idea. So they all went to Nadia, and then they performed the pastimes of Nam Sankirtan pastime in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all that. So during this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of a sudden, was crying out, Sridham, 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 where is Sridham, where is Sridham? So Lord Nityananda is saying that Sridham, you are calling Sridham, but Sridham is not here. So then Chaitanya Prabhu said, okay, why don't you go to Vrindavan? I'm sure Sridham is there hiding in Vrindavan. You go there and bring him here. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, so he came to Vrindavan, he came to Govardhan, and I was crying out, Sridham, Sridham, where are you? Sridham, Sridham, where are you? By that time, because Sridham, he had been hiding, he had been in a cave, hiding in a cave since Dwapar Yuga, he had been hiding in a cave. Because after all, because they were the coward boys, they were playing. So he was hiding and he was waiting for when he would be called back. Somehow, Balaram, he heard the voice of Balaram, he heard the voice of Lord Nityananda calling out, Sridham, Sridham, where are you? Sridham, where are you? So Sridham came out. So he came out of the cave and Sridham asked Lord Nityananda that, who are you? Why are you calling me? So Nityananda Prabhu said that, well, don't you recognize me? I am Balaram. Don't you recognize me? So Sridham said, what do you mean you are Balaram? Because that time, it was him, because Sridham, he still has that form from Dwapar Yuga, and that form, people, they are very, very tall. Very, very tall. More than 15 foot high. And Nityananda was like maybe 6 foot. He was a giant, Sridham. So Sridham said that, therefore you are very, very short. How am I supposed to know that you are Balaram? So Lalitana Prabhu said that, yes, I am Balaram, I am Balai. Why don't you test? And then Sridham said, okay, I'm going to test you. If you can catch up, I'm going to be walking, I'm going to be running, walking. And if you can catch up with me, then I will know that you are Balaram. So Lord Nityananda said, okay. So Sridham, he started, running around the Govardhan Hill. So he did this four times, he ran around Govardhan Hill four times. And then when he looked back, he saw that Nityananda Prabhu was behind him. So he said, oh, okay, then truly you are Balaram. So Lord Balaram said, okay, Krishna is in Nadia. So, and he want to see you, so let us go to Nadia. And then, so they both, Sridham and Nadia, so they went to Nabadip, and there met Lord Chaitanya Prabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, when he saw Sridham has come, he became so happy, and then he embraced him. He embraced him, he was so happy that Sridham has come. Because Sridham, he was a brother of, Radharani. It's very, very dear to Krishna. Very, very dear. So, and then they were engaging in them Sankirtan. And that time, when Lord Nityananda asked that, what should we do with Sridham? How should we address him? So, Chaitanya Prabhu said, okay, we're going to call him Abhiram. Abhiram means, it's not different from you, so we're going to call him Abhiram. So therefore, he became Abhiram Thakur. So which means Abhiram, basically, he did not have a birth. So he just basically is like a transformation from his form. So he did not have like a material birth. And there's a place in Hooghly district called, what is that place? It's called Kanakula Krishnanagar. This story was narrated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So there's a place called Kanakula Krishnanagar. This was a place, and in that place there is a temple there. And near the temple there is a pond, and then there is a big a big cedar bakul tree. And it's under that tree that Abhiram Thakur used to stay there. And when Chaitanya Prabhu, when he was sending Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal to preach from Puri, so Abhiram Thakur, he was one of the 12 personalities that went along with Lord Nityananda to Bengal to preach Nam Sankirtan. And Abhiram Thakur, he had a whip. This whip is called a jamangal, and this whip, anybody that he strike anybody with this whip, that person will develop Krishna Prem. The person will develop Krishna Prem anytime he strike anyone with this whip. So there was one time Srinivas Acharya, he had come to his place. So Srinivas Acharya had come and he asked for the Bhagavatam, which Abhiram Thakur used to read, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he asked for Srimad Bhagavatam that Abhiram Thakur used to read, so this Bhagavatam was completely flooded because Abhiram Thakur, when he read Bhagavatam, so much tears would be coming from his eye. So much tear. So the Bhagavatam was completely flooded that it's practically impossible to read Bhagavatam. So and then so Srimad Thakur, then he went to Puri, he went to Gadara Pandit, and also asked for his Bhagavatam to read. But the similar situation, because the great personality, great devotees, when they read Bhagavatam, they don't just, you know, see the word, they see Krishna himself. So which means so much tears come from their eyes because Bhagavatam is not even from Krishna. So they see Krishna himself, so much tears coming, which is falling on the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam smear is difficult to read. So Abhiram, so he went back to Abhiram. And then, so when he went back to Abhiram, he took his whip and he started hitting him, hitting with his whip. And then Abhiram's wife came and held him, said, how much you keep hitting him, that how much can he give, how much can you give him? He could not bear so much of Krishna Prem. He could not bear so much of Krishna Prem, that how much can you give him? So this is a very, very special whip of Abhiram Thakur. And then, of course, you know, if you are fortunate enough to be beaten by such whip, then we can similarly develop Krishna Prem. I'm not sure if that whip is still available. I don't know if that whip is still there or not. I've not been to that place myself, near Hooghly district. Kanakula Krishnanagar. Those who are Bengal, do you know that place? Have you been to that place before? It's called Kanakula Krishnanagar. Do you know that place? You're Bengali? No, the very behind me. Kanakula Krishna. Is that Krishnanagar or different Krishnanagar? Yeah, Hooghly district, yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure where that is. Anyway, the place of Abhiram Thakur is there. And I think that place is because there's a temple there. And if somebody's there, if you're in Hooghly district, you can try to see that place. I think it's worth it because there's a Siddha Bakul is there. Siddha Bakul means a tree whereby if you touch, by touching the tree, you can get some benefit. You can make good spiritual advancement. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. There's a lot to be discussed about the life of the great Vaishnavas. So we can take today to remember and read some of the leelas of Abhiram Thakur. So I'm going to stop here. Any question or comments? Or maybe somebody knows more about Abhiram Thakur? Finish ringing. Okay, anyway, thank you very much. Grand Trashmi Bhagavatam ki. Sila Prabhupada ki. Gopi Menande. Hare Krishna.